Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Ngayong umaga, naku, kakaiba yung ating episode ngayon kasi mapapalaban tayo. Meron tayong dalawang mga Filipina fencers na makakausap. Kikilalanin natin sila, no? Kasi nga hindi lamang ito sports sa kanila. Sila din ay, kumbaga, lumalaban internationally. At dito, within Australia, hindi lamang yung katawan yung kailangan handa. May bitbit din silang espada. At syempre, tapang. At ipinapakita nila na hindi lang ang lalaki, no? Ang kayang manguna sa larong may bilis, diskarte at syaga. Kaya naman ipakilala natin ngayong umaga. Kasama natin dito sa SBS Filipino, we have Lyra and Eunice. Good morning!
Good morning! Magandang umaga.
Magandang umaga. Napakagandang umaga. Ang gaganda ng guests natin, Dan. Pero hindi mo aakalaing pinasok nila ang fencing. Okay, before anything else, papakilala muna natin. Siguro kayo na yung mag-introduce sa inyong mga sarili. So let's start with Lyra. Lyra, can you talk a little bit about yourself para lang makilala ka ng ating mga tagapakinig?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lyra. I was born in the Philippines, and then I've been living and working internationally for a number of years. And I recently moved to Melbourne and have joined a fencing community here.
Okay. And of course, Eunice. Hi, Eunice.
Hi.
Yeah, can you talk about yourself?
Yeah,
you introduce yourself.
I'm Eunice.
How old are you?
I'm 15 and I'm in year 10, studying in year 10. And I've been doing fencing since April 2022, so 3 years now.
Wow, 3 years. 3 years for you and for Lyra, about like 20 years
like
on 20 and off.
20 years on and off.
Yeah. Oo. Dan, kaya mo bang mag-fencing?
Medyo dumistansya na nga ako ng konti. Eh, no? I need to keep my distance. Pero no, thank you very much, by the way. No, welcome sa SBS Filipino and thank you for your time. We're very interested, di ba, about dito sa kanilang journey. At tanongan naman natin unang-una, di ba? How does it feel, no? Straight away, to represent yourselves and the Filipino community internationally on these competitions. Lyra?
Unfortunately, I represent New Zealand, not the Philippines.
Yeah, but,
And it's great. Like, my first international competition was actually in Berlin because I used to live in Berlin for like a year and a half. And then from there, I went to Estonia, and I was part of a team that got silver, and also I got bronze in my category, which is the veterans category. And so in the vet category, you have, and recently, the FIE, which is like the International Fencing Organization. It's like, you know, FIFA for football. They added category 40, so I'm in the 50 category, and then I got bronze in Estonia, and then silver in the teams category, and then I also got bronze in Madrid. And recently, I was part of the Victoria State women's vets foil team that got gold at the recent Australian Nationals Championship in Sydney.
Wow, congratulations sa lahat ng mga nakuha mo. I'm very proud of you. Pero can we just ask, bakit New Zealand yung nire-represent mo? Anong nangyari? Bakit nandun tayo sa New Zealand but we're here in Australia?
Well, I'm a New Zealand citizen. So I got naturalized in 2010. And so I haven't gotten my Filipino passport back yet because apparently once you have another citizenship, your first one automatically is expired in a way. And so I've been just fencing under the New Zealand flag.
And we also have lots of New Zealanders and Filipino Filipino Kiwi na mga fencers.
Not that I know of, unfortunately. Like here in Melbourne, as far as I know of, there are only 4 Filipino fencers. So we have Eunice that we belong to the same club. There's another one, he's an FPS, so that's a different weapon. Eunice and I, we fence foil, and the rules are different. And then there's another FPS, I think, who is with Monash University. So in fencing, there are 3 different weapons. So there's foil, there's epee, and there's saber.
Dan, nalista mo ba lahat yon? Foil, saber, and what's the other?
Epee.
Epee. Yeah. Okay.
And they all have different target areas and different rules.
So kailangan alamin din yung mga rules, right? And how to use the specific weapon.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with foil and saber because there is right of way. So a lot of time, it's based on how, especially if there are 2 lights when you're fencing because it's electric fencing. And so depending on how the referee sees the action, they can give the point to the attacker or the defender.
Mm-mm.
And so there is right of way. And the target areas are also different.
Mm-mm.
So with foil, the target area is only the torso.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wear what we call a lame, which is like an electric lame to score a point, score a hit, and also a bib. For saber, there is also right of way, but it's more explosive. And the target area is the upper body, including the arms and the head.
Mm-mm.
And epee, mm-hmm. you don't wear a lame at all. It's just the fencing suit or gear. And then what happens is the target area is the entire body. So you can hit the toe, like you can hit the feet, the head, the torso, the legs, mm-hmm. the knee, anything you want. And there is no right of way. So you can actually score, both of you, the attacker and the defender, or both fencers, can mm-hmm. score a point. You get a double hit. With foil and saber, you can't, even if there are two lights, the referee mm-hmm. has to decide, especially if there are two lights, who the point goes to.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's quite complicated.
Yeah, you need talaga to understand the rules. Eto, Dan, isingit ko lang tanong kay Lyra. Lyra, how did you get into fencing and how did you discover fencing? Kasi you've been in fence doing this for like 20 years,
yes.
on and off.
On and off, yeah. Well, growing up as a child in the Philippines, you know, like early 80s, there was really no fencing, that, especially in the city where I grew up in. But I've always been enamored by the elegance of fencing. You know, you see photos of Jose Rizal, the Luna brothers, in their fencing gear and the sword. But there was just no way. And always had the misconception that it is expensive and elitist.
True.
And so I never really got a chance. And then when I moved to New York, I lived in Cairo, and at Cairo I was at American University in Cairo, and then there I met a coach, and he taught us, me and another guy who's Egyptian, to fence like in the basketball court outside the under the Egyptian sun. So it was really hard. It was hot, and we only did dry fencing, so it wasn't electric.
Yeah.
And we only did footwork. And then when I went back to New York, I joined a club. And then from there, I really started to take fencing seriously, but I didn't compete. And it was great because in New York City, you have a lot of options. There are a lot of fencing clubs. And I joined a number of them, but my club that I thought that I really belonged in was Fencers Club.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of the elite fencers who go there. So we saw like Miles Chumley Watson, Nzinga Prescott. They were fencing there. We never fenced them because they were like high level, but it was a great community wherein it was open to everyone. And then when I moved to New Zealand, I really started to fence more regularly.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, ano mo kay iba sila nun? Kaya a bit in fencing na for time din, ano? Very decorated. I mean, achievement. Ano yun lang natin si Eunice? With Eunice, you started, what, like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
How did you or passion for fencing? Is it like the first choice for you sports? How did you get into it?
My dad actually started fencing first, and he used it as like a post-COVID sport. So he introduced me into it, and he stopped, but I kept going because I'm a part of like an award program called the Duke of Edinburgh program. And I've been doing it for my physical rec, so that helped me stay like consistent.
Wow. So do you practice weekly or?
I do.
And you also compete, like you told me earlier that you competed within Australia State.
I do compete. It's only state though.
How was it?
It's scary.
Scary?
Yes, it is. Because I'm really competitive.
Uh-oh.
And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you also mentioned earlier that your dad actually found out about, you know, fencing through Richard Gomez, who is also a fencer back in the Philippines and a very popular actor.
Yeah.
Tell us the story.
During COVID, my parents would watch Gom at Home as just a pastime.
The vlog, right?
Vlog. And his daughter is actually a fencer as well. And he was like, Eunice, you should try fencing as well. I was like, I don't know what fencing is, but I'll try it.
Yeah.
And I really love fencing now.
Oh, amazing.
What do you love about it?
I've tried like a lot of sports. I've tried ballet, swimming, tennis. I liked them, but it didn't really stick with me because I didn't understand it like fundamentally.
Yeah.
And I love fencing because it's forced me to like build like a good foundation, because if you don't know like one of the rules, then you're like you don't know anything.
Yes.
No, that's a bad way to put it. But fencing helps me think actively as I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. No, thanks for sharing that. So, how in that for 3 years, naman so far? Could you tell us, Eunice, about your journey? So, where have you competed, and then are you looking to, you know, compete again?
Oh, for the first one, like first year and a half, I wasn't really consistent, and I've only started competing last year.
Ah, okay.
And I've only competed state in Melbourne, but yeah, I did a Sydney camp, an international Sydney fencing camp with a coach called Enrico, and that really like started me getting into competitions.
Amazing. And then keep doing it, kasi no, hindi masyado madami, lalo na mga Pilipina at mga babaeng nagfa-fencing, hindi ba dan? Pero ito, golden question, is it really true when you said, Lyra, na kasi misconception sabi mo kanina, diba, that it's expensive and all. Can you yun yung golden question, mahal ba talaga kung gusto mong maging sport yung fencing? Expensive ba?
Fencing is not any different from any other sport. I like see. Tennis, for example, right, when you have to invest in an expensive racket and all that, if you're competing. However, and this is the misconception that a lot of people in the fencing community, we want to change the perception about exclusivity and elitism. So what happens is, if you're a beginner, you can just take one of those beginner like courses that we have, like different clubs here. If you go to the fencingvictoria.org website and you go in, just search for clubs, it will give you different clubs in different locations all over Melbourne. And when you are a beginner and you're taking a lesson, usually the club will provide you with the mask, the gloves, your breeches, or sometimes the jacket, which is really, really important, because the jacket will protect you from any, if like a blade unfortunately breaks, and sometimes it happens, it will, it's almost like Kevlar. It will not penetrate the jacket. And then, so the club will provide all of that, including giving lessons and footwork and just the basics of fencing. So it's not expensive at all, because the club will provide it. And there are a lot of avenues for use gear that you can go and just buy for a fraction of the cost. The only time it gets expensive is if you really want to compete, because then you need to invest in gear that is sanctioned by the FIE.
Because when you say FIE,
which is the International Fencing Federation, so it's in French, it's Fédération Internationale.
French. Yeah. Okay.
And so it has to be a certain level. So you have the 350N level, which is usually just for local comp, and then you have the FIE one, which is what like high end competitors use, or if you're fencing nationally. And so it does only get expensive because of travel and the investment that you put into your gear.
Yeah.
But if you are a social fencer, where you're there for the community, or you're there to get like a good workout, for example, exercising your brain and your body, because they call it physical chess, because it's a lot of strategy as well.
Physical chess.
Yep. Or if you're a starter or you're a beginner, it's really not expensive because the club will provide it. And you can start as old as 70-something. So I did a camp in Italy 2 years ago and also last year, and I met people or heard of people who started fencing when they were 70 years old or 40 years old.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. Yeah. And then you compete. And you you can start as young as 6 years old, or be like a teenager like Eunice, or be someone like who is...
like Dan.
Who
Dan
is an adult or a vet.
Yeah.
So vets are like 40 and above. And there is nothing stopping you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Mentioned about competition, diba? Do you find it more mentally or physically challenging during competition? Kasi iba yung mindset din eh. Aside from your body, of course, you train, right? But what's your mindset, you know, going into, you know, these international competitions?
It can be absolutely scary. Because you have to think that there's a lot of pressure. And it all depends on the outcome that you want. If the outcome that you want is to podium, meaning to medal, that can set you up for downfall because there's so much pressure,
true,
like mentally, to perform really, really well. And you can't control your performance because you have to think of your opponent as well. Mm-hmm. But it really takes a lot of preparation because you need to prep yourself months before, especially if there's a big competition, like the Nationals, for instance. So you need to practice bouting. That means you go to your club and you bout with different people. You also need to take lessons from coaches. And then you need to be able to be in a mindset where it's a lot of pressure. Like imagining in like a small strip, which is, I think it's like what? I forgot like the length of the fencing strip. But just imagine someone running after you with a sword, right? So you need to be able to be calm and to do the actions that you need to score a point. And so you also have to eat well. It's a lot of preparation.
Yeah,
lot. If you want to
and
compete.
Disciplined. Yeah. What keeps you coming back to fencing?
I love it. There's just, it's so elegant as a sport. And just imagine, it's like being a Jedi, right? Like you're playing with swords. And it's also a great way to like mentally prepare you because you are thinking of strategy, but you also need to be active on the strip. So it's mind, body, and just grit as well to overcome frustration when you're not winning or you're not performing well. But it's so, it's like ballet.
Yeah.
It's so elegant. And I really implore people to try it. There are different clubs that are starting out with the beginner classes. There's Cross Swords where Eunice and I are part of, and there's one, a beginner's class coming up end of July, I think July 27. There's also the University of Melbourne, and you don't need to be a Melbourne student as far as I know to join. So there's a beginner's class on September 2nd. And just give it a shot.
Do you balance everything, Eunice? You have studies and you're busy. You're in year 10, right? And you have practices and all that. And of course, you have a social life too, and family life. So tell us how you balance.
I'm really busy. I've got a VCE class and I've got other activities. Like I do first aid training every Tuesday. And what really helps me balance is like having a calendar and always having a set routine. Because I always know Wednesday and Saturdays are for fencing and Tuesdays is for like St. John's training. And that just like really helps me. And those days, Tuesday, Wednesday and Saturday, I don't study to have my mind clear.
You need that break.
I do.
And do you think that fencing impacted your confidence or other parts of your life in school? I'm sure positively, right?
It did, actually. It helped. I got to speak more about to like my PE teacher saying, oh, I've got a competition. I didn't really speak to my PE teachers before because I was more focused on my studies. Now that I have my sport, I get to connect to other people and other students. They ask me what sport I do, and when I tell them I do fencing, they're like, oh my gosh, really?
Wow.
I've never heard that before. I've never met someone.
I think a lot of like getting to that certain level, Eunice, like you will actually compete, say,
internationally,
then. And what keeps you motivated?
That's my main goal, to go internationally. I'm really excited to do more competitions. And my biggest motivation is really myself, because my parents don't really put like pressure on me to get better, so it's more about me. And what motivates me is like it's something that I'm good at. I see potential in myself.
Well, that's good that you're seeing potential in yourself in this you know, in this sport. So do you see this as a long-term pursuit or something that you would continue to do, or maybe a career in the future?
More of a like a pursuit or like a little side sport, because I have a career in mind actually already, and fencing's just something I enjoy and love.
Amazing. Wow. For a 15-year-old, no? Dan, maganda yung meron na siyang goals in life.
And it's good, no, to hear na that she's well supported din, no? And you can see that, no. And tanong si Lyra, ikaw naman Lyra, your personal life or like mixing with, you know, fencing and other socials, diba? How do you balance that?
Oh, just to add, Lyra is a film editor and she's been working around the world. So she's pretty busy with her schedule, and she also teaches post editing at Deakin University.
Yes, I do. Yeah. My contract is wrapping up now at Deakin. And I'm in talks to move to a different place. But yeah, trying to balance it is actually really, really tough. Mm-mm. Because life gets in the way sometimes. So it requires a lot of discipline. And so when I was working at Deakin, because I don't have a car here in Melbourne, it would take me from where I live 90 minutes to get to Deakin University.
Where do you live?
So all the way in the west.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have to take, you know, like...
How many trains?
One train, one tram, one bus.
Wow. You've taken all the transportation.
So all the way to Deakin. And then if I have training that night, I would bring my gear with me.
Mm.
So it's really quite heavy because you have the mask, you have your weapon, which is a foil, and then you have your body wires, like everything, like your uniform, quote-unquote. And I have to bring that all the way, teach the whole day, and then commute again to get all the way to wherever the practice is.
Yeah.
So it can be in North Melbourne or somewhere else. But then it's just pure grit and discipline, because it's eyes on the prize and trying to discern what you really want to get out of it. So if for me, I want to compete and get better, because I didn't start fencing until I was like in my 30s, right? Unlike people who started when they were 6, or Eunice when she started when she was like 12.
12, yeah.
Right? So I started really late. So I have a lot to catch up for. And so it's just training. But and this is going back to my point where it's never too late to start.
True.
Right? And then eventually compete. So when I started, I really didn't think about competing. And then eventually, the more I focus on fencing, regardless of everything happening in my life, I would still train so that I could compete. And yeah, it's really tough balancing it. There's no way to sugarcoat it.
With those bad days, I mean, you know, we're human, right? There are days that, you know, you're not, you're 100%. But how do you push? How do you motivate? What do you tell yourself?
Oh man, it's tough because we all have egos, right? So if you're having a bad day, and even if it's just like a practice bout, it's just training, you really shouldn't care if you're going to win or lose. But you're counting points, right? To see if you're doing the actions correctly. And your ego, it just gets a knocking when you're not doing really well. And and so it's just recalibrating your brain, and it's still, for me, a work in progress.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's a fencer, especially if they're competing, or if they are the kind of person who end up being really too hard on themselves, it can be really difficult. And so it's just a constant battle and mind game.
Yes. I know, because I appreciate the sport. I watch it, I appreciate it. What do you tell yourself when you're competing? Kunyari, feeling mo, oh, ang galing nitong kalaban ko ah. Do you talk to yourselves? And like, this is my next move. What do I do? Like, how do you talk to yourself? Curious.
Eunice, go ahead.
I do talk to myself a lot, actually. Because when fencing, you always have to have a plan before you fence someone else. You have to, are you going to do a straight attack? Are you going to lunge? And it's just really difficult for me, because there's also like mental pressure, like I want to win this, or I look back on my old bouts, I'm like, I did that really badly, so I should try fix it. And I there's also like the positive one, like, it's okay, I'm here for fun. It's just to stay calm. This is for exposure, for practice. So it's hard, because I'm also really hard on myself. After practice, every single practice, my parents always have to hear me, like, be really hard on myself. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't go do well as I thought I would. But they always cheer me up. They're like, it's okay.
You're very competitive.
I am.
But you're doing great, Ayan. And Lyra, how about you?
Oh, I talk to myself all the time underneath the mask. And I would curse myself. Yeah, I was like, that was shh. You know? And then it's just trying to change my perception, which is still a battle. And I'm listening to a lot of podcasts about the athlete's mind and stuff like that. And I try to keep in mind whether it's a good point when I scored a touch or it was scored against me. Next point.
As women competing, you know, in a sport, still widely known, or not widely known sa Pilipinas, hindi pa siya ganun kasikat.
Sa community natin din, oo.
Oo. Ano yung challenges na face nyo, ano mo yun, getting your audience or getting the support even?
That's a really good point because it is still suffering, fencing as a sport, mm-hmm. about, again, elitism and exclusivity, right? When in fact, mm-hmm. it's very, very inclusive. And I think the challenge now is to emphasize that anyone, regardless of gender, economic background, cultural background, age, gender, it's very inclusive and you can try and start fencing. Doesn't matter if you're 6, you're 10 years old, you're in your 20s, your mm-hmm. 40s, or 70s, right? It's never too late to start fencing. Mm-hmm. And it's really quite interesting because Lee Kiefer, who is Filipino-American, won back-to-back Olympic gold medals. Mm-hmm. Also, she won in the teams as well, a gold for the USA fencing team. And we actually saw her in Paris. We didn't.
Wow.
We watched her fence in Paris, but mm-hmm. we also met her personally in Berlin mm-hmm. because they had this fencing exhibition and we were able to get an invite. But there's not a lot of female fencers or Filipino fencers
sure.
or Filipino-American fencers, right? So there's Bryce Louie. He's Filipino-American, and he won the NCAA, which is this big national collegiate fencing comp in the U.S. And then there's also Sam Catantan, Samantha, who is Filipino, grew up in the Philippines, started fencing, didn't come from, as far as I know, a privileged background. But then fencing mm-hmm. was able to grant her a scholarship to study in the U.S.
Wow.
And so I think mm-hmm. she just graduated. But she is the first Filipino fencer in a very long time since Madrid, I think, in the 1960s, who qualified for the Olympics.
So all in all, around 5 Filipinas?
That we know of. I'm sure there's a bunch more.
There's a bunch,
but like
yeah.
the number of Filipinos mm-hmm. making waves in abroad mm-hmm. internationally, as far as I know, are just 3.
Yeah, and we want to emphasize that fencing is an inclusive sport.
It is,
yeah.
absolutely, regardless of your background, your age, or gender.
Oh, ito naman for Eunice. What do you think representing, what does representing Filipinas in fencing on the world stage mean to you?
It would be unbelievable. Mm. Just thinking, going internationally, representing a country, mm-hmm. the Philippines or even Australia,
yeah.
It's such a privilege for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what really pushes me forward. And because there's so many people, if I represent the Philippines, I know there's going to be so many Filipinos like cheering me on.
Yes.
Because as I watched Sam in the Olympics, mm-hmm. was it last year?
Yes, last year.
Last year, I was really active when watching her bouts and I cried. Aww. Got disqualified. And if I were to represent the Philippines, I would be so full of happiness.
Mm. We can't wait to see you represent yeah. either Philippines or Australia, Uni. So we're
yes.
looking forward to that. Ako baka na pressure to lose.
No, it's okay.
We want to, you know, riding behind you, support, diba? Kami mga yes. spectators, mm-hmm. lalo na mga Pilipino. How do you think the Filipino community here and abroad, or at home, diba, sa Pilipinas, can better support the sport, like fencing, mm-hmm. and encourage participation, especially yung mga parents, kids nila?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. In the Philippines, only because I've been stalking the pages, fencing in the Philippines. So there are a number of clubs, actually, in the Philippines, but there's, as far as I know, there's none in the provinces. Mm. So, but in the big city like Manila or Paranaque, there are fencing clubs.
Mm.
And they're open to everyone. So for Filipinos listening who are in the Philippines, and if you're living in the Metro Manila area, please give it a shot. And, you know, you don't need to bring anything, just yourself. Here in Victoria, you can just go to fencingvictoria.org. Mm-mm. Check the website and it will give you a list of the clubs. You can also email me at participation@fencingvictoria.org if you want to get more information on how to get into fencing. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of beginner classes that are starting up. So earlier I mentioned our club, Crosswords. There's another beginner session because there's one ongoing right now. The next one is on, I think, July 27th. It's on a Saturday. And then University of Melbourne at the Nona Lee Center, there's one starting on the 2nd, I think, of September. But there are a bunch of clubs as well in the Geelong area, Or even up in the West, there's Western Swords. Again, just send me an email, participation@fencingvictoria.org, and I'm happy to guide you and how to start fencing. I'm actually going to invite Claudette to go and try fencing with us on the next beginner session.
No, I support. Do you have one in Sydney as well for that?
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of clubs in Sydney. Yeah, there's, I think, the Sydney Fencing Club. I don't remember, but there's also the Pride Cup, which is coming up on June 29 to celebrate diversity and inclusivity. That's going to be at the State Fencing Center at North Melbourne. I think it starts at maybe 9 in the morning or 10. But I'm not sure if you need to procure tickets just to watch. I know to join, you need to have the gear and everything. But it's on June 29. It's the Pride Cup, and it's a fantastic way to celebrate fencing.
Yes.
Just across three weapons.
Wow.
So if anyone's interested, they can go there and they can see saber, epee, and foil.
Ayan. It's never too late to start. Ika nga ni Lyra, no? And finally, what are your goals and yung mga future ninyong plans? Yeah, let's start with you.
One of my goals for this one is to get myself involved in a national competition.
Yay,
and after
forward.
That, build onto that. And for me, my personal like dream goal is to qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah, well, we want to see you there. Yes. Go, Eunice. Ayan. How about you, Lyra? What's our goals?
My goal, that's the big one, it will probably not be until next year, is to qualify and compete at the Veterans World Cup, which I think will be in Georgia. Not the American state, but Georgia, the country.
The country,
I think. It happens every year. But this year is going to be in Bahrain, and then there's the Asian Championships as well in Hong Kong, which I'm not sure if it's in Hong Kong this year again, but I can't go. But definitely next year, I'm hoping to qualify and compete.
Wow, nakaka-proud. Yeah. All the best sa inyong dalawa.
Thank you. They can follow Fencing Victoria.
Fencing Victoria.
On Instagram and on Facebook as well. And just, you know, get in touch with me, have fun, and there's nothing better than being able to chase someone with a sword.
Wow.
And hit someone legally.
Legally. Within the, how do you call the?
The strip.
The strip.
It's all the piece.
Oh. Yeah. Ayan, maraming salamat. We have Eunice Tagat.
Yes.
And of course, Lyra Stewart. Sila po ang ating mga Pinay na fencers dito sa Melbourne, and they're part of Fencing Victoria.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment. Sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.